Matthew 21, please. Cliff, would you be turn the lights off in the back only, please? Matthew 21, please. Matthew 21. All right. We're going to read another text. I think I'll read it now also. Last week I said something. So it's these little pieces help you read the Bible better. Remember, at Matthew 21 to Matthew 28, all takes place in how long of a period of time? 1 week. We're going to read the story this morning of the cleansing of the temple. This is the final cleansing of the temple in Jesus' last week. Look at me, the last Passover, because he ultimately becomes all of those Passovers for 1,400 plus years. He becomes our Passover. So we'll come back to Matthew 21. If you will turn to John 2. John 2 takes place, at least from John's gospel. It's only recorded in John's gospel, John 2, verse 12. It takes place at the very beginning of his public ministry. Remember, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called synoptic gospels. They tend to look at the chronology the same way. John, written later, steps aside and fills in many details. From the Gospel of John, we find out that Jesus, as an adult, went to somewhere between 3 to 5 Passovers. And there's debate, but at least 3. Matthew only and Mark and Luke only record the one, the end. This is at the beginning. So friends, this happens, look at me, twice. When Jesus begins his public ministry, and this morning, when he ends his public ministry. Everything in Matthew 21 is going to be primarily about Israel. I'm going to apply it to us, but understand this is a condemnation of a nation. Look at me, friends, whom the Lord has sent prophet after prophet after prophet, and the people reject the prophet. Chapter 21 is a tough chapter. He cleanses the temple. He curses a fig tree, which is the idea being he's cursing Israel, his own people. Remember, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Unbelievably. He came unto his own world, and his own people rejected him. Then you're going to have the parable of the two brothers, two guys. And then you're going to have, by what authority? And everything in chapter 21 is basically, he's done with the Jewish nation. Now, friend, could there be worse news than for God to simply say, I'm done with you? It happens. Frankly, it's happened in Europe. I wonder when it's going to be totally true in this country. John chapter 2, please. Let's stand together. Verse 12. I am going to introduce you to two words that are not going to be obvious. One, you already kind of know the word. There are two words for the Greek word temple. They are extremely important that you know the distinction, though it's not obvious in English. The one, hieros, you know the word from hieroglyphics. Hieros just means sacred. Glyphos means a stone in writing. So, the sacred writings in Egypt. Hieros is the normal word used for the temple. Look at me. Complex. Then for the Holy of Holies in the New Testament, where nobody could go except the high priest once a year, was called the Naos. That will be used in this text. All right, verse 12. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brother and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem, because everything is up. And he found in the temple those that sold, and can you imagine in the temple, you have oxen, sheep, doves, and it says in the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a whip of small cords, he drove them out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen. I want everyone to raise their hand. I want raise of hands. Have you ever had to herd cattle? Raise your hand if you have. Very small group. Do you know what cattle do when they're running and they're nervous? Don't say it. You're not reading this text. You run these animals out and run the people out, it causes a commotion that shakes people up. Cattle do something when they're nervous. By the way, if you go to Arizona, there's a little place in Tuba, Arizona, where you can see dinosaur bones by the hundreds. You can also, and I'm going to use Greek, see dinosaur doo-doo. You say, why? Because I guess dinosaurs got nervous too. Let's continue reading. So he drives out of the temple the sheep and the oxen. I never had sheep. We had lots of cattle and pigs. Poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. And he said unto them that sold the doves, take these things hence. Get these things out of the temple. Make not my father's house a house of merchandise. Can you imagine coming to pray and to worship God and there's smelly cows, animals, people exchanging money, chit-chat? Verse 17, his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. Now, friends, all of this happened the first public year of his ministry, three and a half years before what we're going to read next. Let's continue reading. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? See, this is his introduction. They don't know who he is. He introduces himself by running people out of the temple. By the way, you also miss the obvious point. He called the temple my father's house. Wow. He goes on to say, in one of these passages that we'll run into in Matthew twice later that they didn't understand, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy is a command. It has you as the you, destroy this temple. Not hieros, the word for the Holy of Holies, talking about his body. You destroy this temple? What does he say? And in 3 days I will raise it up. That's the sign that I'm going to show you. Did he show them that sign? Mm-hmm. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building. I'll say this later. Herod started rebuilding the temple when he was alive. This is 46 years after he finished. Everyone look at me. The temple was never finished until AD 64. You say, why? I said it last week. I'll say it a little later. The temple was the largest building in the Roman world. Herod, most of us don't know this, was considered the greatest architect and builder in the Roman era. This was the largest building in the Roman world. It had already been built for 46 years. It wasn't just a little temple thing. It was a massive complex. We'll talk about that in a minute. So they say, we've been building this 46 years. Verse 21. But he spake, this is John reflecting, of the temple of his body. All right, Matthew 21. If you don't have a Bible, you have the notes. Verse 12, please. Now, we're three and a half years later. Maybe four. I never get into these debates because it's impossible to prove exactly how long Jesus' ministry was. Three and a half years or so. This is probably the fourth or so time he's been to Passover as an adult in the ministry. Verse 12, Jesus went into the temple, the King James says of God. Some translations just say temple. This is the hieros. Why is this important? Look at me, friend. Jesus could not go into the Holy of Holies. He went into the temple complex, which I'll say how big that was in a minute. Massive. Everybody was allowed to go into some degree. So he goes into the temple of God, and he, for the last time, cast out all them that sold. So did they learn their lesson the first go around? They're right back to doing the same stuff. Selling, buying, talking. Look at me. I was in Peru with my son last April before. We went to a little market, supermercado that was up and the market was down. I looked down and I said, John, look at those three guys over there. What are they doing? He looked and said, I don't know. I said, look at them closely. He says, I don't know. I said, they're gambling. You say, what do people do when they're buying and selling and bartering and trading? Can you imagine you went to the temple and that's what you run into? So he overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, it is written, whose house? Man, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. We're still hieros. All through this passage is the temple complex. And when the chief priests and the scribes, I'll come to this later, I love this little phrase, saw the wonderful things that he did. Oh my goodness. And the children, young people, crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were so happy. And said unto him, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, yea, yes. Have you never read out of the mouth of babes? Babes is the Greek word for a non-speaker. That's kind of hilarious, isn't it? Haven't you heard out of the mouth of children that can't speak yet? And what's smaller than a child that can't speak? Someone that's still doing what? Feeding at his mother. Sucklings. Thou hast perfected praise. Verse 17 is a horrific verse. And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. I'm going to speak this morning, and I hope to make some of this at least somewhat nice and pleasant and at least self-deprecating humor about me. I'm going to speak this morning on things get dirty. Things must be cleansed. Things get dirty. Things must get cleansed. The temple, look at me, was a filthy mess. That's what happens to everything. Let's pray together, please. Father, thank you for this time as I try to expound. And more than that, I want us to hear, how did your son come to earth and run all the craziness out of the temple? But 3 years later, probably 30 minutes later, we're back to normal. We brought all the cows and the ox and the sheep and the goats and the pigeons and the doves and the money and the conversation. The temple was a filthy mess. Soon it would be cleansed, and not too long, it would no longer be. Because people didn't take it serious, their chances would be over. Help me this morning to be able to apply this to, first of all, the story, what happened, and second of all, to our lives in a way that honors you, because the center of this story are the wonderful things that you did. Help us to hear in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I prefer to tell stories, if they're a bad story, about myself. Last week, I saw it, or should I say, I noticed it, but I didn't want to notice it, and even when I noticed it, I didn't want to do anything about it. So, what do you do when you don't want to do something about something? Just ignore it again. But later on, sometime last week, the sun, I hate the sun, there's two bathrooms in our house, one downstairs, one upstairs. The one upstairs, the sun does not go directly into the, if it's at the right angle at the right time, it kind of shines into the little bathroom or restroom, and it hits the mirror. And I was in there brushing my teeth, and the sun was just at the right angle, and it shone in, hit the mirror, and all of a sudden, I saw it again. And I remember thinking, okay, I got to do something about this, but I don't want to. You say, what was wrong? The shower. How can I say this without incriminating myself? The shower was dirty. I'm going to say it that way. That's as close as I want to go. I could say filthy. I could say yucky. In need of a good cleaning. Now, I don't understand, because we have two full baths in our house, one up, one down. I did that opposite. One up, one down. Okay, let's try that again. One up, one down. The one downstairs is perfect. It's all frilly in there. It's pretty. It smells good. Every time I go in there, it's perfectly spick and span. Somehow the downstairs bathroom is self-cleaning. But the one I'm responsible for is not self-cleaning. Is that fair? Tell me. I don't know how it works, but every time I go down, it's like, what? How does this work? Maybe the person that takes a shower downstairs is not as dirty as the person. I don't know. But somehow upstairs is dirty. Well, that sun hit just right, and I thought, I got to do something. I don't want to do it. Then I thought, by the way, I'm philosophical. This is how I get out of stuff. I thought, how in the world does a shower get dirty? Only two things go in the shower, hot water and soap. Why doesn't it clean itself? But I had to clean that shower. Say, what did you do? Well, I thought about calling Amy, but I knew that wouldn't work. So I got to soap or some kind of soap, and I turned the shower on steaming hot, and I got a mop, and I went after it. You say, do you enjoy it? Look at me in the eyes. Things get dirty, including you, including your life. Can I say this to you, and I'm not about anybody. I don't care who you are. You get spiritually dirty. And when you get spiritually dirty, somehow, some way, you got to get cleaned up. If you don't, I cannot tell you how bad it is. My wife knows, because you say, does she clean the upstairs restroom? She did for me one time. But that's under threat of death. It's my job. You say, where does it get dirty? We have one of those sliding doors in that metal. I don't know, where does that dirt come from? I look down there because I've been avoiding it for as long as I can, and it's like, where does that come from? So I'm down there with my little sponge mop, pouring, you know, water, soap, scraping, because things get dirty, and things must be cleansed or washed or cleaned up. Well, that's the story of this text. Things get dirty. Things must be cleaned up. Up in the balcony, can you turn on our slides? I can't see. Is that you up there, Superman? I can't see who's in there. Okay, let's get past these. We're going to come back to these in a minute. Everybody know what that place is? Is that a big place? No. Compared to the temple, it was not a big place at all. Now, just for your information, the Colosseum was made from the profits when Titus destroyed the temple and he took back all the money that they had in Jerusalem and slaves. That's what built the Colosseum by Emperor Titus. Next picture. This is the inside. Now here's our problem. We don't have a picture of the temple, so I'm going to have to describe it. We have drawings. Go back to that first drawing, please. The temple proper is just that little high part. This is what we think it looks like from reading Josephus and other people. But see, when you say temple, that part, the big tall part, is just the Holy of Holies. Nobody could go in there. Several of these other places, certain people could go to. Next one. This gives you a bigger, But see, here's our problem. You see that it still looks like a little matchbox, right? Well, we'll get to that in a moment. Last picture. This gives you a little bit better understanding that you have in the front and in the back. Are you all listening? The court of the Gentiles, which pretty much everybody could go to. Now, I did all this for this reason. Let me read. The temple was the largest building in the Roman world. Did you hear that? It was 1,590 feet on one side. Folks, that's over 3 football fields, just this, the temple. It was 1,033 feet or 35 feet on the north side. It was 912 feet on the south side. Let me give you an example. You ready? It was 35 football fields. Have you been out to our field? 35 of them. That was the temple, the largest building in the Roman world. Maybe some later were bigger, but it was a massive place. The court of the Gentiles, front and back, was 25 acres. Y'all know what acres are. Our property here is 6-7 acres. Can you imagine? So when the Bible says Jesus went into the temple, get your head on. He's not talking about that holy place. He's talking about the court of the Gentiles where everybody could go. In the last couple of decades, 2 objects have been found. Josephus talked about them. They were signs on the court of the Gentiles when you went in that said this: if you're a woman, sorry ladies, if you're a foreigner, all of us except maybe one or two, you do not go any further on threat of death. Would you believe when the Romans destroyed the temple, we now have found a portion of one of those signs, and the whole sign, unfortunately you can't get a picture of it because the Turkish government owns it, but there's a picture of part of one of the signs. Next. In Greek, it was written in Latin, Greek, and in Hebrew. That was the sign that said, Cliff, you don't step 1 foot further out of the court of the Gentiles on threat of immediate death. That was the temple. Very welcoming place. So, you're a Gentile and you come to the temple, guess what would happen? You could come into the court of the Gentiles, and what was going on in the court of the Gentiles? Cattle, smells, and all of it. Yeah. Superman, we'll come back in just a moment to that first slide. Let's look in your Bibles, Matthew, or if you have a bulletin, it would be faster for some of you. Matthew 21:12. Let's talk. Things get dirty, things must also get cleansed, washed. And this morning's sermon is not technical. It actually has a lot of almost slang language intentionally. Matthew 21:12 says this: Jesus went into the hieros. Now again, we're not talking about the holy place. We're talking about court of the Gentiles, those kind of places. And he cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple. And he overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And you say, what is all of this doing here? We'll talk about that in a moment. But the bottom line is comes next. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. But you have made it a den. And I'll come back to that word, of thieves. Number one, the temple's purpose got lost. The purpose of the temple, which was a place that God wanted people from all around the world to come and learn about Him and pray and worship, it had become a place of thievery. So here you were, you had heard of this God of Israel, and you traveled to Jerusalem on the Passover, and you wanted to go, and you come in, and when you get there and you walk into the only place you can go, you start smelling animals. and you hear animals and what animals do. And if animals are there, you have to feed the animals. And then there's people over here exchanging money and obviously being thieves. And there's all of this commotion. And you're like, I traveled from Persia. Look at me, friend. How do I know people travel from Persia? I'm not going to read it for you. You read Acts chapter 2. The people in Acts chapter 2, not on Passover, on Pentecost, 50 days later, came from Parthia, which is modern-day Iran. They came to the temple, and when they got there, they got to smell animals, see people exchanging money. The very purpose of the temple was gone. It got lost. In your notes, in the bulletin, one of the most precious texts in 1 Kings. I talked about his prayer a couple of weeks ago. Solomon, when he's dedicating the first temple, not the second, it says, Solomon in 8:41 says, moreover, concerning a stranger, that's most of us, non-Jewish, that is not of thy people Israel. Solomon says, but cometh out of a far country for thy name's sake. Then he makes this statement, for they shall hear of thy great name and of thy strong hand and of thy stretched out arm, an image in the Old Testament of God intervening. They're going to hear about you, God. You're a great God and you have a strong hand and you stretch out your arm to intervene. They're going to hear. They're going to come. They're going to pray. He goes on to say, when he shall come and pray toward this house, hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all the people of the earth may know thy name to fear thee, as do thy people Israel, and that they may know this house which I have builded and is called by thy name. Friend, that's one of the greatest texts in the Bible. Solomon is saying this is not just about little Israel. This is about everybody. And here Jesus walks in. He's already done this once. He goes back in the temple the last week of his life, and they're right back to selling, buying, talking, gambling, raiding people for money. And here's people from all over the world coming here to know about God. And what do they learn about? Don't go to Jerusalem if you want to know about God. It's in your bulletins. I should have put two verses there. I'll read both. Isaiah 56:7 is the quote that Jesus makes. I love this quote. Isaiah 56:7, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for my house shall be called an house of prayer for all people, which is simply kings, which is simply Jesus. Jeremiah 7, verse 11, he's referencing that also. Is this house which is called by my name, this is the first temple, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Everyone look at me.
I got to say it.
When you read about the Bible, there's usually what's called First Temple, Second Temple. First Temple was built by Solomon. Solomon built a magnificent temple. We don't know all of how it looked in its finality. But Solomon, somewhere before he died in 931 BC, had built a beautiful temple. When he dedicated that temple, 1 Kings chapter 8, he said, Lord, there's going to be people here about you. They're going to hear your name. They're going to hear about your strong hand and your stretched out that you will enter. They're going to come here to learn about you, to pray to you. Well, that temple was destroyed in 586 BC. After a period of time, 536 BC, Cyrus the Great lets the Jews come back. Everybody look up here. They start building and finally finish later with Ezra. Zerubbabel, Joshua the high priest, Joshua has another spelling too, and Ezra, they finally finished, look at me, a little bitty temple. And that little bitty temple is what they had from Ezra's time, 400s, 500s, all the way until Herod. Herod the Great, semi-pagan, but a great builder, he decided to build the greatest building in the Roman Empire. Look at me. It took him, by Jesus' days, 46 years to build. It wasn't finished. It didn't get finished for another 30 years. I mean, it was, can you imagine, 35 acres? Hand-hewn stone. It was a fortress. Took the Romans 3 to 4 years to finally conquer. Tremendous place. So, first temple was Solomon's, destroyed by the Babylonians 586 BC. Then Cyrus let them build a small temple that lasted until Herod the Great. Herod then took that little temple and just, probably the only thing that was there was not the whole tall building, but that on that spot. And then he started expanding 35 acres, or 35 football fields. And then the place where everybody could go was 25 acres. You could go into the temple precinct. You can see they probably had all the way around the sides, they probably had places. And it was just a wonderful place to go know about the Lord. But the purpose of the Lord, prayer. What are the purposes of the Lord in the temple? One purpose was to bring sacrifices. Obviously, Jesus was the ultimate and final Lamb of God, but all those years from Solomon, first temple, second temple, they were to bring sacrifices. Secondly, giving. Every person, and every Jewish person was required. It wasn't suggested to bring one half shekel. How much is that? I don't know. But a half shekel was required of every Jewish person. They had to bring a Jewish half shekel to the temple usually at Passover, to pay the temple tax, so to speak. So you were to bring your sacrifice. You were to come there and give. You were to come there and pray. But it wasn't just prayer for Jewish people. It was for all people. They would sing. They would obviously learn about God. They would hopefully worship God, come to know God. That was kind of the point. And you say, what happened? The temple's purpose got lost. Because when you came, instead of going into the temple, look at me, please. Instead of walking into a bathroom that smells good and looks good, you saw, yuck, that needs cleansed. You walked into a place, instead of being able to pray to the Lord, you heard cattle, ox, sheep, probably goats, pigeons, doves. And if that wasn't enough and you got over it, can I ask you a question? Have you been in a hog lot recently, or have you been in a place where cattle are? Does it smell good? It's right in the temple. Oh, by the way, and if you're a Gentile like most of us, that's the only place you could go. So if you could finally get away from the cattle, maybe the cattle were on that side and over on this side, you got over here and they got the money changers. You say, why do they have money changers? Superman? By the way, you're going to see something that none of you in this room have ever seen. I think these are the first two ever found. These have very specific historical reference. You're looking at a Jewish half shekel that was, look at me, when the Jews rebelled against Rome in 66, from 66 to 70, those 4 years, they started making their own half shekel. That is one of the first ones ever found. So if you went to the temple, here's the problem. If you went to the temple and I'll use our money, and you had American money, what's on the front of a dollar bill? Washington. Well, the problem is, normal money had people's pictures on it. Now, what you don't know, and I've had some Christians get nervous, if you look at the back of a dollar bill, you have some symbolism. I don't know what the symbolism is. I'm sure some silly book can tell me what it means. Oh, look at me, friends. You could not bring Roman money, and you could not use it for your taxes. So what had to happen? Somebody had to change it into one of those half shekels. So guess what the temple became? Instead of it being a place where you, a Gentile or a Jewish person, came and you walked in and you got to be with all of the people that had gathered for Passover or for Pentecost or for the feast of the later feast in September, October. Makes no difference. Instead of that, you got there and the first thing you were assaulted with is the smell of animals. But here's why did they have animals? Well, I forgot to tell you, you had to bring a sacrifice. By the way, you notice it focuses in Matthew on doves. Why? Because the smallest sacrifice you could give was a dove or a pigeon. Most people traveled. You understand, this wasn't like I'm going to get on a jet and fly to Jerusalem. You travel for weeks and weeks and weeks to get here. And the money was exhausted. So when you got there, you had to buy a dove. So the problem was you needed the animals for sacrifice. You had to exchange your money for some sort of a Jewish half shekel. And guess what they did? They did it right in the temple. So when you walked in, you're assaulted by all these animals and the smells of animals. But it's like, okay. And then you needed to exchange your money, but there's one thing missing. I want to ask you a question. When was the last time you went to O'Hare Airport and bought a bottle of water? Ice Mountain, I get it at Sam's Club. It's $5 for like 40. How much does this cost at O'Hare? Is there a place to get it for $4? I tell you one thing, if you buy the good water, it's $8. I remember the first time I bought two waters for my wife and I thought, I didn't want to spend my whole paycheck on water. There's a piece missing. Because you're not hearing it. Jesus says, you have made my house, instead of being a house of prayer for all people, you've made it what? So you went there. You had to have a sacrifice. Well, you can't bring a sacrifice from Rome. You can't bring a sacrifice from Turkey. What are you going to do? Just have a sheep walk along with you for a month? So guess what? You went there and you think, oh, praise the Lord. They have them for sale. Now, I don't like it here and it's smelly, but I'll get my friends. It would be like going to O'Hare. I can remember Jenny and I missed a plane in Florida once. It was their fault. So they gave us a place to stay that night. I still remember that place. It was a perfect place, except you didn't have room to walk around the bed. It was so small. And they gave you money for food. And it was a lot of money. And I think we got a sandwich each. It was like, so here you go to pray and to worship. And if you're a pagan, you know, you've heard of the Lord. You come there to know about the Lord. And guess what happens? You smell animals. You're robbed. By the way, friend, the word den of thieves, that's an okay word, but that's a stronger word in Greek. It was used of Barabbas. It's talking about someone who with a gun points it to your head, so to speak, and takes your money. It's saying highway robbery. Can you imagine the shock that people spent their whole life wanting to go to the temple in Jerusalem, and they went there and there was no prayer, there's no singing. There was singing all the way until you got there, and when you get there, it's like, why? Because the very purpose of the temple got lost. 1977. I, Vic Borden, Jerry Forgy, another guy whose name I don't remember, and a guy named Larry were invited to a Baptist church in Virginia. We were stationed at Bethesda Naval Hospital. We were all going to some kind of school. All those guys that got saved, all of them went to the little church I went to. We're going to have it was called a tri-county or tri-state convention or conference. And it's for youth. And they said, do you want to come? And I said, yes. All of us got in a car. We drove to this place. Are you listening? I asked you if you're listening. We drove to the place, we got out, walked up to the, we all came from the same church. I had had part in every guy's salvation there, every single one of those guys. Vic Borden is a pastor in Kansas City, Missouri, and has been longer than I've been a pastor. He was one of the guys, so you can ask him. Red Ridge Baptist Church, Kansas City, Missouri. All I know is, walked up, as we're walking in, there's a woman here. She looked like she'd been drinking sour pickle juice. I noticed the hate, but I was a kid. I didn't think anything of it. We went on in, but she gave us the look of, are you guys from outer space, or you need to go back to hell where you came? I don't know what it was. We went on in. I'm going to give you the short story. That was the last time Larry ever came to church with me. Because Larry realized that filthy little church, did you hear the word filthy? Didn't allow blacks in it. I didn't even think of it. Larry was my brother in Christ. I led him to the Lord. He got baptized in our church. But that filthy little church, no blacks allowed. And before blacks in this room get nervous, this is common in every church. I've been in churches in Waukegan where they're looking at me like, what are you doing here, Whitey? Racism and hatred, anything, what the purpose of the church was, anything. Here Jerry was coming to grow in the Lord and had some filthy little woman. I have a lot of illustrations of that, but I'm almost out of time and we're at point number one. Let's look, if you would, back to verse 12. And I'll go quickly. Really, the only thing I want you to get this morning is this. The temple's purpose got lost. Can I ask you a question? Are you one of those people? Do you know there were people in this room, look at me, there were people in this room that say this is their church that did not know that Linda and Linda were sister and sister-in-law. Can I say this to you? We have a problem. So I sometimes wonder, if somebody came to you and said, I want to know who the Lord is, would you even be able to tell them? Are we just the people that are just lost in our little world, in our little problems? Unbelievable. I come here sometimes brokenhearted and look at people and it's like, who are you talking about? Really? We act like pagans. That's exactly what Jesus was condemning. So what then does he do to that paganism? He casts those people out. And that's the symbol. You'll catch on. Look at verse 12. Some people got tossed out. Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple. He overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Let me just say this, friend. Sooner or later, you got to clean it up. If you're a Bible-believing Christian here this morning, 1 John 1:9 doesn't tell you how to get saved. If you're already saved, you've already been washed in the blood and you're free from your sins. But on the day-to-day basis, you get dirty. John says, if we confess our sins, and by the way, we must confess our sins, not someone else's. He, Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The temple's purpose got lost. Some got tossed out. He just threw them out. And sometimes you just got to, in your own life and even in a church, there's got to be some tossing, shaking the thing up. By the way, before some of you get nervous, one of the finest couples that ever came to Lake County in my 28 years here was Rachel and Tony Cardenas. Tony Cardenas was a Tejano from San Antonio. The better side than you're from the bad side. They was from the better side. I don't know if that's true. I love Tony Cardenas. Nobody I love more than Tony. Tony and Rachel went to a church in Virginia. Tony is obviously Hispanic. His family's been in America 3 to 5 generations. He and his wife still speak Spanish. He's an officer in the United States Army. And have some filthy people, when they walked into church, he says, I mean, knew something was wrong. They didn't want us here. And at first he didn't get it because he says, I'm an officer in the United States Army. and I'm a Christian, and I'm a deacon at Lake County Baptist. God's purposes get lost because we get fixated on ourselves and we just get filthy. The Lord's going to come to your house and do some tossing. Our church and you as a believer individually should be a welcoming group, bringing people in, not pushing people away. Inconceivable. Well, some got tossed out. Number three, verse 14, please. I love this passage. After he had tossed them out and cleaned out all the animals and the money changers, it says, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. I'm just going to mention this because we've talked about healing and things. I say then and only then those in need of help got help. Then and only then. So the temple's purpose was all backwards. It was all about making money, exchanging money, making profit, animals, playing around, talking, chit-chat, dinking around, and all that stuff. It's like, wait a minute, what about prayer? What about knowing God? What about, nope, we don't have time for that. We're too busy making money. So then Jesus tosses a bunch out. The purpose got lost. Some got tossed. And then and only then, those in need got help. That's a beautiful statement. Verse 15, please, and 16. What about the leadership? What about the leadership? So look up here. He walks in. He cleanses it all out because the purpose of the temple had gotten lost. He tossed a bunch of people out, and then people came and he started doing, look at me, the very purpose of the temple was for people to come and pray and sing and give and worship and for people like us, pagans, you know, from other countries, to come there and to know God. And guess what happens when he cleans out the mess? It happens. How's the leadership? What do they think? Well, verse 15, I love it. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw, they were looking. Look at this phrase. Did you get the phrase? The wonderful things that he did. Hey, everybody look at me. Can you imagine you were in the temple that day and look at me. Jesus was healing people that could not see. What would your reaction be? Wouldn't you react? When something good happens, don't you? I'm not an emotional person externally with people much. But don't sometimes you just get happy? Hey, look at me. When something, don't you just get happy? I can just, they're seeing, this phrase reminds me of history. Maybe it doesn't work for you because I'm, as my son says, Dad, you like history because you're old. I understand that. But hear me, friend. Do you remember? I can't remember the year, 19-something. Lord Carnarvon had paid a guy named Howard Carter to find King Tut's tomb. And they'd spent years, and he'd basically given up until all of a sudden, under lots of rubble, he found an opening, and they started going down, but it took a long time to get down there. And when he got down there, Howard Carter could read the cartouches. He knew this was King Tut's tomb. He read the cartouches, so he knew what it was, but he had to go through a door and down another path and all of this rubble, and it took so much time, and they didn't have flashlights in, was it 1912, whatever it was. Howard Carter finally gets into the tomb, but he's not in the tomb. He has a hole, but there's no flashlight, so he puts a mirror and a candle, and Lord Carnarvon's behind him, and he asks him, what do you see? He says something like, many wonderful things. Look at me. Jesus did wonderful things. What's the attitude of the religious leaders? Let's keep reading. It goes on to say, they saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were, King James says, sore displeased, furious, and said unto him, and this was their verbal response, hearest thou what these say? The leadership So you have the purpose of the temple just got lost. Then Jesus comes in. Lots of folks and animals got tossed. And then the people in need got help. And the leadership, after cleaning up the mess and the animals and the money and all of that, they're just furious. But they're seeing wonderful things. Can I ask you a question? When you came in this room this morning, could you not see a difference? Could you not smell a difference? Have you walked around? Have you not seen hundreds of things? No. Because most of us are fixated on me. We are the leadership. Number four, so the leadership got mad, furious. They walk into the temple. It's peaceful now. There's no more animals making noises and doing their business. There's no more animal smells. There's not the clinking of change being made. There's no bartering, buying, and selling. Now we're praying, healing, worshiping, learning about who God is. Well, I don't want that. What is it exactly do you want? Not only that, undoubtedly there were people there coming to know who Jesus was as Lord and Savior, and they're furious. I'm going to say two stories, and I don't like either one of them. One day we did a funeral service. I don't know who the funeral service was for. I just remember this, and I got one coming up here shortly. I think you know. I remember weeping during the funeral service for the person and the family. I'm sure I've wept already plenty, and will more this week, but I will say just weeping, rejoicing in the comfort of God. And I remember I walked out and somebody in the church, I think I knew who it was, but I'm not sure. And I just walked past them and, you know, I'm just exhausted. I poured out my heart. I poured out everything I have. And I just said, how was it? And the person's immediate response was, I don't know, I had a headache. I had that person say to me at least 5 to 10 times I had a headache during a service. What I realized was something was fundamentally wrong with their Christianity. They always had a headache. They could never see anything that God was doing. Who's God? My friend, the group being condemned is this group. Let me say it. By the way, look in your notes or your Bibles, whichever you prefer. Look at verse 7. This is a very telling verse when you understand he's condemning the Jewish leadership. In not verse 7, verse 17, forgive me, verse 17. It says he left them. And that is a very strong word for leave. It doesn't mean he just walked away. It means he kind of bye-bye. Not only did he leave them, it says he went, and it's extremely strong. He went out of that city. You see, I think Jesus, at the end of the game for these people, nothing was going to change. Well, we'll move on to the last point. I have said the purpose of the temple got lost. Some people got tossed, and then, and only then, the people in need got help. Then the leadership got mad, furious. Verse 15, 16, please. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and notice the language, please, the children crying in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Children there is a word that it could be anywhere from four or five or six, up to teenage, older teenagers. So it's a youth. The young people were crying in the temple during this time because I think people are starting to know who Jesus is. Hosanna to the Son of David. Then the leadership was furious, sore displeased, and said unto him, Hear thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, Yes, yea. Have you never read, and this is called irony. Haven't you read out of the mouths of babes, people that cannot speak, and suckling, ones that are still breastfed, thou hast perfected praise? I conclude with number 5, and this is where you want to be in the story. those who shouldn't have got it and got him. They got it and they got him. The whole irony is the people that were in charge that should have understood the temple and understood what he was doing and understood who he was, they just get furious and do their religion. Kids, and then the irony is, it's being ironic because it's not real, but kids that can't even speak and kids that are still breastfeeding, they're the ones that are getting it. And they're not only getting it, they're getting him. It's the irony. The people that shouldn't get it got it, and they got him. Everybody look at me and I'm done. There's three kinds of people. Have you ever heard this? There's people that make things happen. There are people that watch things happen. And then there's people who wonder what happened. Who are you? Do you get it? I'm going to ask you, do you get it? Do you get the purpose of the temple? Do you get the purpose of your life? Do you get the purpose of church? Are you one of those who make things happen? Are you one of those who watch things happen? Are you one of those who wonder what happened? What? Who? Where? What? Let me say this. The conclusion of this story is you want to be one of the kids because the kids got it. Now, I think that's metaphor. I don't think he's just talking about children. I think he's talking about all these people that shouldn't have gotten it. They get it. You people that should have already had it, look at me. He departs and leaves them behind. By the way, it won't be long. There won't be a temple. None of this will even exist. And the leadership that rejected him, that whole family will be dead. You say, why? They will be judged. But the people that got it, we'll see them all with the Lord. Can I say this? There's those who make things happen, watch things happen. What happened? Be one of those who make things happen. How about it? Let's pray. Father, help us this morning. This is a tough text because the nature of everything is to get dirty. And we don't like the cleansing process, and many times we're not much different than the chief priest and the Sadducees and the leadership. We're just angry. We're making money off these people. This is how we get rich. We get rich off these dumb people that come here from all these countries to worship. Who cares if they worship? Let's make our money. Father, we should be the most open people on earth. You have opened your arms to us. As the song that was sung a while ago said, you've left heaven, you've left your throne for us. Can we not then be open to people? We need to get it and help others get it and make sure nothing gets in the road. Maybe that's it. Get it, help others get it, and make sure nothing gets in their road. That's what we're about. Bless now, we ask in Jesus' name.